Welcome to the Sales Chaos Theory Podcast, the go-to audio experience for navigating the ever-evolving landscape of sales conversations. Hosted by the dynamic duo Tim Ojai and Brian Lambert, this is your invitation to dive deep into the world of value communication like never before. In a market flooded with unpredictability and constant change, Sales Chaos Theory is your guiding light, offering insights, strategies, and the much-needed clarity to help you find the patterns and thrive amidst the mayhem. This is Sales Chaos Theory, where we make sense of the complexity in the market and help you lean into it to rise above the fray and land more deals. Let's dive in.
As a value communicator, we all know how important it is to have conversations with your buyers and customers that really, truly matter. As you work to communicate value, you will have to talk to a variety of different customer roles. We would go so far to say as understanding who you are talking with will make you rich. And that's what we're going to do today. In this podcast, you will hear from a buyer with a very important role. A role that you may need to sell to soon or in the very near future. What's that role? Well, today, the president of a mid-sized company. Remember, friends, customers define what's valuable. You don't get to. So let's get started.
The Sales Chaos Podcast starts now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sales Chaos Podcast. My name is Tim Ojai.
And I'm Brian Lambert.
We are the co-authors of the book Sales Chaos, Using Agility Selling to Think and Sell Differently. Thank you for joining this podcast. As a value communicator, you have to reach out and add value to specific buyer roles. And each one of these roles is a human being that's actually critical to their business with their own focus, their own perspective, their own vision for what they need to do to make their organization successful, as well as to be successful as a specific person. So we find that people in roles face different kinds of pressures and trends and challenges that are unique to the roles that they're in. And both of these things, the person's perspective and the pressures and challenges that help them or challenge them in their role will help us to understand their point of view better. And if you can bring those things together, you can ultimately communicate value better.
That's right, Tim. So today you're going to hear my interview with Dave. Dave's the president of Allant Group, a marketing technology company. And you know what? Don't forget to stick around after the interview where Tim and I will actually debrief what Dave shares on the podcast and offer our own commentary and tips for you. Here we go. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming Dave Irwin from Allant Group. He's been a colleague of mine. I've worked with him for a long time on the Sales Enablement Challenge. And Dave, I want to thank you for joining this podcast today. And if you could just give us a brief introduction of yourself and your role there.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I'm president of a company called Allant. We are a marketing and advertising technology company that helps large Fortune 100 advertisers, as well as media companies, network programmers, and distributors of media content enable marketing and advertising technology solutions to either drive the sale of more advertising dollars for targeted TV and or buy more efficient marketing and advertising services.
Great. Thanks for that introduction. And so as the president of Allant, what are some of the pressures and trends that are really affecting you in your role today?
Well, we are in a business sector that is certainly is under a massive transformation, which is the TV industry. We play a very strong role in what is sort of the future of targeted TV advertising, moving from general targeting to precision-based data-enabled targeting. And so we are dealing with clients that are undergoing a lot of change and trying to navigate the sale of our services within a very fast-moving, changing, dynamic landscape with a lot of pressures on our clients. We're dealing with a lot of clients that are going through, you know, a lot of organizational change at the same time. And, as a backdrop to all that, we have our own, revenue pressure to achieve numbers achieve them systematically, month over month and year over year, and just navigate a lot of complexity. At the same time, of course, we're deploying, you know, a lot of different technology solutions to be more efficient on the delivery side, as well as deploying a lot of different approaches to how we market and brand our organization in the marketplace. So I guess the overwhelming theme here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's both in your customers and in your company. And, you know, you mentioned some of the complexity that you have to navigate. If you had to identify some of the high-level problems or challenges as you navigate, what are some of the themes there that you have to routinely deal with as CEO?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with there's several fronts. One is I have to align a lot of different product and service offerings that we have effectively to different sectors of the market. I have to align sales talent, marketing and branding resources, public relations and advertising effectively as well. So I've built really playbooks that help me do that. These are all two-front solutions that are fairly complex in terms of the technology and data underpinnings. I have to have an effective way to articulate value in the marketplace. You know, my primary responsibility here is overall growth and revenue and the strategy that we deploy to achieve that. So those things are critical. And then, of course, the level of effectiveness that we're having inside of our client organizations to achieve real results for them and to effectively and within very specific time frames achieve both the sale and delivery objectives and goals that we have. So when you have a changing and transformative landscape in flux all the time, you know, there is just a series of obstacles and changing to-dos that have to be monitored very effectively, and that's probably, you know, one of the greatest challenges is just staying on top of all of those different changing dynamics and effectively executing against them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I've talked to other executives, and it's interesting to hear them talk about their challenges, and they have a piece of the overall system, you know, whether marketing has marketing and sales has sales and operations has operations. But when you roll it up to your view in thinking through on the delivery side and the sales and revenue side, and then even on the product, new solutions, as you're working across the whole entire system to drive it forward, I think that's a great perspective that sellers often don't know how to relate to, and maybe some of them do, and I'd love to unpack that with you. You know, when you think about sellers that are great and sellers that are not so great, as they relate to you, as they try to communicate value to you, as they try to add some sort of value to you, let's just take the first piece here, and maybe on the negative side, and what are some of the things that you wish salespeople would stop doing as you're living this day-to-day challenge?
That's a good question. You know, at my level, I guess my first initial reaction is I do get dozens and dozens of sales calls for all sorts of services, from you know, advertising services, certainly technology related offerings and capabilities, sales enablement, software services. All sorts of things that sort of tend to fall into the growth side of enabling growth for a technology business like ours. I would say the first thing that I wish salespeople would stop doing when they try and contact me is sending me emails that really just promote their own offerings from a feature function perspective without any context as to how it's relevant to me. I delete those within seconds, typically, because there's not even a level of personalization that is even remotely close
to engaging me in why I would be interested in that or what it would do from a business perspective. I also get left dozens and dozens of voicemails that sometimes don't even explain what the person is calling about, but ask me to return their call, or give some sort of pre-scripted promo about what they do, but again, fail to even begin to articulate the reason for the call and why we would be on their list, as though the whole task that those people are faced with is how many phone calls can you make in a day, but selling something to somebody doesn't seem to be part of the equation. So I guess I would call it irrelevance, complete lack of any form of communication that indicates even why people are calling, and obviously the amount of waste, I would say, is about 98% on those sales calls to me. And I would also say that a lot of times those calls or email messages are just wrong for my altitude level. You know, I care about things that are driving revenue growth and efficiency for my business, and I'm getting tactical calls about, services or products that are well below what I would even be looking at. So I think altitude level is something else that's way off.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think just to clarify on the last point, are you saying, you know, based on your altitude level, you're looking externally, you're looking for growth, and you're looking for some sort of ongoing impact that you've got to, you know, at the system level of the whole company versus kind of a point solution, tactical, hey, I want to talk to you about sending out, you know, an email newsletter out to your customers or something like that. Is that what you mean as far as altitude level?
Yeah. I there's people that that call in. I don't know to think on who's in charge of what. I've got a whole staff that does MarCom execution, and a lot of calls should be going to them that end up coming into my phone, which I get rid of immediately because I'm looking at things that impact my business financially in terms of revenue or cost efficiency, not execution task enabling capabilities that, you know, someone two or three, you know, levels down whose job it is to do that would care about. So it's a mismatch, is my point, between the product and service and why they're calling me versus, you know, the person in charge of MarCom or lead gen or sales management or something like that. So it's just a wasted call.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So then on the flip side then, and thank you for that. I appreciate that. We unpacked that a little bit because I think you made an absolutely critical point. I think sometimes salespeople get told to go speak at the right altitude level, but there's not a lot of equipping or training on that. So that was helpful, I'm sure, for our listeners. On the flip side, over on the pros or the more positive side, what do you find salespeople do that actually that meeting? And then I guess quantifying this out of the calls or emails that you do get, how many will you actually entertain on a yearly basis? You know, can you kind of give us an order of magnitude here of what it takes to get through to you as a seller, maybe a new seller? And then for those that actually have made it through, what's made them successful and what did you really appreciate them doing for you?
Great question. I think I'm not sure that there's a certain limit on what I would entertain. I mean, I'm looking for solutions or things that, you know, make an impact, you know, financially to our organization. So my care abouts, if you will, are larger and maybe probably easier to ascertain. Financially impacting business results oriented types of things that save, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for my business in terms of efficiency gains, or things that help me enter new markets or or be more effective in terms of revenue growth. And so, you know, I guess what I would say is cutting through the clutter would be really easy if somebody communicated with me with, you know, there's so much information on LinkedIn and about our company, even read our website, crafted a note that actually had thought through some of the obvious articulated business strategies that, you know, we're out deploying or promoting, and thought about somewhat in my role, which is pretty well explained, you know, in terms of my profile, and then just put a simple, you know, I've done my homework. There's three things I think I can do for your company after researching a little bit about what you guys do in the market. I think those three things are X, and I think that there's a big enough impact of those three things to achieve Y for your business over the next 12 months. And since perhaps your budgeting cycle is coming up, or it's, you know, we're close to 2016, I wanted a chance to get in front of you and articulate very quickly, 15 to 20 minutes, those three ideas, and get your feedback to see if I'm on point or not. I would be so blown away by that person even having done those basic things. I would take a meeting with them instantly just for having gone through the effort, because it's rarely, if ever, happened. But it seems, from my perspective, that someone could do that. So I guess that's my initial response. Now, in cases where I have had a few situations where people have done that effectively, and we've typically probably bought the solution or moved forward with them, I would just say 75% of the time, because usually that person is smart enough to be pursuing me, you know, with a good idea in mind that's relevant. Another tactic is also, you know, people that directly report to me who are influencers, getting sold on something and bringing that idea to me and promoting it. But I need some metrics. I need order of magnitude information. I can't entertain software functionality when I don't know that it's going to yield, you know, $500,000 or $1 million of savings in 12 months for me, given the size of my company. So those are some quick comments on your question.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. Well, any last parting words of wisdom for the sellers that might be listening to you before I let you go?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, the negative feedback I gave earlier is easily overcome by doing the basic. It's very easy to differentiate yourself at senior levels if you do some of the basic things I outlined, and I think that you would experience a great success in getting the higher executive level meetings if you really frame it that way. I would also say I think salespeople give up too easily if they do have something of good value, unless they're dismissed. I would, if you feel strongly and passionate about the value proposition, particularly to a senior executive, you got to give them four or five, you know, at bats to actually have the time to go ahead and acknowledge that they're willing to meet with you. I think people give things a try and then decide that it's just not working. And finally, I would say the altitude level, the mismatch. Usually people are taught a value proposition and they'll tell it to everybody from the lowest level person at a target company to the highest level. You got to change the value proposition. In our business, when we sell to somebody who's a CEO of a major media company, unless we have something that's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars in business impact over a period of time, it's not even worth calling them. So order of magnitude business impacts by altitude level, I think, is something that people need to think about so that they call the right level with the right offering, with the right order of magnitude for those particular altitude levels, and you'll be more effective at getting to the right person.
Yeah, that's great advice. Well, Dave, I really want to thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your point of view and just sharing some of the challenges and pressures that you're under and giving the advice there to the sellers that might be out there. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I thought that was pretty cool. There was a lot of dense insight in that interview with Dave. One of the things that right off the bat I want to point out, I could actually feel the tension of his struggle of trying to align his own people, of trying to get everybody working together to tackle this massive amount of pressure to transform what they do as their customers are transforming at probably as fast, if not faster, rates. And the part that got me, Brian, was trying to do all of this stuff while still trying to hit your number, because I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, by the way, we understand you're doing a big, big change, and so that's okay if your numbers go soft for a while you finish your change. I didn't hear any of that. It was all about change everything, change how you communicate, change how you deliver, change how you measure, change how you scale, change how you operate, change everything as you continuously change your definition of value to your customers. And it was absolutely insane. The picture I got in my mind was like trying to fix a plane while it's flying in the air in a lightning storm. And it's the worst lightning storm in at least 100 years. And that's literally how I felt like Dave was, that was like his role. Did you get the same tension?
Yeah, I did. But the interesting thing about it, though, is, while that's happening and the swirl and the churn is obviously there, obviously he doesn't seem too overly concerned about it. That's his role as a CEO, is to deal with that stuff. But, you know, on the positive side of all that, there's a lot of clarity there. I mean, he's crystal clear on the vision. He's probably spent a lot of time with customers unpacking where they want to go and aligning internally to get there. That evolution of where the buyer's headed, while he didn't explain a lot of that, I think that's where his confidence is coming from. I mean, if you think about it, this lightning storm that you just mentioned, the ability to work internally, to align the sales process, to align the people in it, to align the marketing message, the delivery, the consulting, the services, and obviously there's a technology component to what he's doing. All of that against this future state definition of television media advertising, which we know how much that's in flux with streaming, with precision ads needing to be served up by zip code, etc. That's an integrated view of where customers need to go to drive their business forward. And I think that's a unique value that obviously they can bring in. They probably spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. And that clarity really pulled through. And I'm sure that's a lot of hard work. You got to put the work in. He's probably like working daily on that with his team. That's where the confidence is probably coming from. And the cool thing that I thought out of all that was his willingness to hear from salespeople to say, you know what, I don't have it all figured out, and I would love some help here. That's one of those things that makes me realize how humble CEOs can be to realize that they don't have it necessarily all figured out, but they know where they want to go.
Yeah, but the key right there is they can't just help, right? They have to actually understand that big picture you were just talking about, because if you don't understand that big picture, that problem, at the Uber level, at the systems kind of view, you're actually just offering to add to the complexity, aren't you?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you can't really just add to complexity. Obviously, there needs to be some simplification there. Everybody's got a different solution, probably, listening to this. What's that point solution going to do to help Dave be successful? How do you connect the dots? And the more integrated you are, the better, because he's looking for wholesale, holistic changes, not point solution, areas to dabble with in his business.
And what I think you're leading into this whole idea is what he went into this whole piece around altitude level, and altitude level matters. I mean, when you talk to somebody who's coming in from a different altitude level and you're not changing how you speak to them, you talk to them as if you're talking to the manager of purchasing or to even an IT director, or pick another level. If you don't come into these senior executives and talk about them around the business bottom line, you're not going to be relevant to them. And I love how he said, you know, talk about the business bottom line, not just making someone's job easier. I can think of so many sales calls that I've listened in on, or other people have told me about, or the work that we do with the buyer side of this. We hear about this all the time, that people come in and it's like they're talking about, you know, really low level fruit, and the senior executive's like, I really need you to think bigger than this. If you can't quantify your impact and the minimum in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm not interested. And you can't talk about future, you can't talk about benefits, you can't talk about needs in the context of making someone's job easier. If you don't get into the specifics of how you can make a business impact at a really big level, your value proposition doesn't really have a lot of meaning, does it?
Yeah, that's right. And this idea of understanding your impact now, but more importantly, where he wants to go to help him get there. I think that's absolutely clear, because obviously everybody in the company is on this journey too, to evolve and get to the future state, which I think, you know, brings up a third point that I want to call out. And this, it has to do with this idea of the role of selling in a situation like this. I think we take it for granted that our solutions will be implemented. But if we pause as value communicators to say, listen, if somebody actually buys what we're selling, we're going to change that company and how that company works and how people within the company work together if they buy our solution in some way. And I think our role in communicating value is to create space for that. And then obviously you have to be able to deliver on it. But that's what Dave's looking for. He's looking for people that have the ability to understand where he's going, to communicate that with that business impact that you mentioned, but he needs that across the whole organization. And that's a key part of selling today, is the recognition that you change how companies work, and two, our role as value communicators to help people within the organization, the people that work for Dave, work together differently to actually achieve an outcome together. And I see more and more salespeople heading that way, almost as internal business consultants, to help companies figure out how to work together in this thunderstorm flying through the rain and where the lightning's going to strike visual that you gave at the beginning of this debrief. You know, people need to understand how they help. They want to add value. They want to be successful. And I think it's as simple as salespeople and consultants and value communicators explaining clearly how they can do that with their help. And I think that's going to make it twofold. One, the impact will be more clear to Dave. And you know what? It'll probably make their job easier, too, along the way.
But you're getting into something really, really important here. And I don't want anybody listening to miss this. And that's the idea that part of selling to Dave is actually teaching his own direct reports how to communicate value to Dave.
That's right.
Right? So, I mean, they can't just come in and say, hey, Dave, I'm talking to company X, and they're awesome, and I want to use them, and they're going to make my life easier, basically. He said specifically, don't do that. Help the people who are going to talk to Dave or any C-level executive to translate what they want into bottom-line thinking. And it goes back into this idea of communicating value to the altitude level. So you're literally, you have to include in your own presentation to people who are at different altitude levels the message they need to socialize internally to take it up. And maybe you get to go with them, maybe you don't. And so they have to be able to speak in the language of their boss, not just in the language of their role. And I see this all the time. We have a lot of buyers out there who don't want that kind of help.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it in that regard, there's another side of that aspect where it's like, okay, we're going to leverage this company. Acme is going to come in and help us. Hey, Dave, I want to bring Acme in. What's Acme going to do for us?
Right. Well, here's the brochure, or here's the PowerPoint deck they gave me, and, you know, and they start doing feature, and Dave, his eyes just glaze right over, right?
Yeah, sign here. No, not going to do it, right?
Not approved.
Right.
Okay, so that whole third aspect just underscores this idea that if you're going to get access to the president of the company, obviously that reel's going to speed things up, but you've got to bring your A game. And there were some very clear points that he was giving, and we're going to give a little bit of a twist on those, but fundamentally he said right off the bat, do your homework, do your research. I love what he said around the idea of, you know, we put what we want you to know about us on the internet. If you don't take the time to go to LinkedIn and go to a company website and other things to look about us, you clearly are not going to impress them right off the bat. So doing your homework up front, but it's not just doing your homework to be able to, you know, spew facts from a LinkedIn profile. It's actually so you can then tailor your value proposition for them specifically at their altitude level about what they're trying to do in the context that they're in. And then I love the last thing he said, don't give up, don't quit. You really believe in what you're trying to do. Stay on point, stay on message. I'm sure you're going to have to tweak it. And we have other approaches, and we'll talk about in other podcasts about how to change your approach for each message. But the idea of staying in there and working with either directly trying to contact that president, that CEO, that C-level exec, and or start hammering away on that direct report that you know you can get to, it might be easier to get to, and just stay on target with them until they will open the door for you to get to that senior buyer. But don't give up.
That's right. Yeah, and if you're listening to this podcast, we won't let you. It's not allowed. Right, so there you go, folks.
We'll show up at your house with a cup of coffee, you know, at 6:30, and say, "Are you ready to go? Which phone?
Yeah, let's get moving. Let's go. Let's try it some more." So there you go, folks. A deep dive on the president role / CEO role. You know, both Tim and I really believe that this kind of overview of the buyers that you're talking with will actually contribute to your success. You know, we're not just doing this because we like to talk to these people, even though we love it. I'm always learning something new. But we're truly going out of our way to help add value to you because we understand the world of work has changed, and we understand that there's so much transformation happening in the time like this that we're trying to provide a little bit of a sneak peek and a peek behind the curtain, if you will. So every time you listen to these buyer role focused podcasts, more and more information will be revealed to you. So we encourage you to listen more than once and definitely share it with a friend.
Okay, that's it for today. On behalf of Brian and myself, we invite your thoughts, your comments, your feedback down below on the webpage. We really do read those things. We respond to those things. And more importantly, your question may be what somebody else wants to ask, but they're afraid to. So let's get that dialogue going. And just remember, tips and tricks don't save the world. We need you to find your own way to communicate value to buyers at every interaction. We don't want to just give you our method. We want you to find your own authentic approach to turn chaos into opportunity. So thanks for joining today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening.